Simon on the White, and we're here talking to
Richard Bennion, Minister for the Natural Environment and Fisheries.
Now, that was a pretty busy meeting, about 120 people there, I think.
It was great. It was really good to see a large number of people from lots of different organisations and interests, and I hope that I was able to both show that I'm resolute in thinking that marine conservation is important and we want to take this forward, but that we are very mindful that people's jobs and activities that are hugely important to the economy of the Isle of Wight are at stake here, and we want to get this right, and I'm absolutely convinced that we can.
And the turnout that's been today and the amount of representation you've had from the island, has that been unusual, or have you had the same across the UK?
This is certainly one of the areas which has raised a great number of concerns, and I think that many of this has been around the misunderstanding that what we're talking about here is something that's going to absolutely prevent people from doing things. And in a marine conservation zone, there are features that need to be protected, really special features that are part of our marine environment that need to be protected and in some cases allowed to recover. But adjacent to that and further up the water column or wherever around it, there are activities that can carry on perfectly in harmony with those ambitions, and that includes in many cases fishing activities, angling, sailing, and what's been made absolutely clear to me is the very great importance that people on this island bring towards the marine economy and particularly sailing.
And that's stood out from people who've contacted us, and in particular, I mean, you mentioned the fishing and the sailing. Their concern is dropping anchor, and it seemed from what you were saying in the meeting today that that shouldn't be, if it's recreationally, then it shouldn't be a problem.
There are a variety of different places around the island which have become really important places to drop anchor for a variety of different reasons. To me, there is a way around this. There's a way through. There's a way which, through sensible management measures, can allow those sort of activities to continue without causing damage to places such as eelgrass. What is important is that those decisions are taken locally, working with everybody concerned, rather than from my desk in Whitehall. One of the things I've been keen to impress down here is that this is a really consultative approach, which I want everybody to contribute to. And this is not just going to be some minister sitting in London drawing a line on a map and telling people that they can't do certain things. Absolutely not. This is a different way of doing things, and local people are at the front and centre of it.
It does seem like we've had people saying, well, we've got generations of knowledge, particularly on the eelgrass or grassweed, I think as it's called, on the island. Lots of people offering their knowledge and expertise, so it's encouraging that that will be paid attention to.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that in this process has been that we discovered there's been a complete lack of scientific data for many of the conservation zones that were proposed by the four regional bodies around the coast of England. And what I'm really determined is that we are not just relying on our own eyes and ears in organisations that DEFRA runs, that we are using the combined wisdom of local people and who live and work in the sea, and that we are getting this right not only for them but for the marine environment. And there's no point in drawing a line on a map protecting something that isn't there. This has to be really well thought through.
One final question on the anchoring side. What I wasn't clear on, will there be some zones after the consultation that will have no anchor, but the majority of it won't be no anchor?
I can't really say, because I don't want this to be a decision that I take, but there are certain places where an existing use could be permitted to continue, and maybe that if they wanted to extend the number of moorings, then that would require certain activities, for example, the establishment of eco moorings, which are more expensive, but the existing ones will be fine. That's one option. Another is to say that across the whole range of the marine conservation zone, that moorings will continue to be allowed in this part, but not in not to extend to other parts. And so that there is a way through this. And, you know, the concerns that people have is that this is some sort of zero-sum game where there is, you know, what is allowed now won't be allowed tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. I do want to protect these valuable ecosystems. They are extremely important for the future economy of our seas, as well as the environmental welfare of our seas. And so, but there are ways of doing this that do not need to require people to stop doing what they currently do.
And people putting their own information forward, that needs to be done by the end of this month, or will they be able to do that after that for the Isle of Wight as well?
Two things on that. First of all, they've got till Sunday to contribute to the consultation, but then we will be consulting on the management plans, and those are the really key ones for people to contribute their ideas on moorings and techniques and those sorts of things. So that will be coming up towards the end of the year.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you very much.